to Salam Nerds Podcast.
All right, guys, you ready for your first EDM festival?
Let's go!
My first EDM festival. Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds! My name is Dean, a.k.a. Watch the Knees, and here my boy, Jazz.
Thank you to our supporters. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, aka Watch with Neebs, and I'm here with my co-host Jeff, aka DJ Cook.
I appreciate that. You know what?
Love it. Love it. You know, whenever somebody says Kukulkan, it spells it K-H-A-N, and I'm like, yo, it's pretty much my last name. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah, no.
They need to have a Kamala Khan be like, I am Kamala Khan.
I can totally see them doing it as like some Halloween or winter special or something.
Oh, yeah, man.
And
oh,
like, man. You see Namor walking in, like, hey guys, what's up? Like,
that would be so funny. Look, I'm wearing my Kenyan shirt today because people don't know this, but I actually have part of my family is Kenyan. A lot of my family members are from Kenya. And I was like, listen, I'm going to rep some African style today, man.
Cool.
Yeah. And speaking of style, we got an amazing guest. Somebody I met at the Lyle Lyle Crocodile event, and I was like, I told him I'm a big fan. This guy, you might know him on TikTok. He's a big deal. He got really popular doing these Powerline cosplays, and he's an amazing dancer.
That's you.
Yes, that's
I follow
him.
You.
Yes, Dimitri, welcome to our show. God.
That is me.
Like. A lot of times I don't follow people like that Neebs brings on, but I think I actually organically follow you because of this Powerline thing.
I love that. Thank you so much. That means a lot. That really means a lot.
Yeah. Oh, this is awesome.
I never tell Jazz who our guest is. I never let him know. He's always surprised.
Nice, good little surprise for him. I love that.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
That's Dimitri, tell us a little bit about yourself, man. I mean, I gave you a little bit of intro, but tell us what we don't know.
Well, I live out in New York. I live on Long Island. I've been here almost 28 years. I turned 28 in January, which is wild to think about. Like, my knees hurt, my back hurts. But yeah, my job right now, I work for a DJ company. I've been doing that since I was 18. He hired me, the boss, my boss, he hired me at, I was a guest at a Sweet 16. And he was like, I really love your vibe. I was like, you want to come work for us? He's like, come back here tomorrow to take pictures. And then since then, I worked my way up from like, learning the business, learning like the tech, I did photo, and now I just mostly predominantly just DJ, which is a great job. And I would love to incorporate that into like even moving forward, like with my content creating, like be like guest DJ, you know what I mean? Which I got to do last month, actually at NYC, that's this weekend, New York Comic Con. I got to be a guest DJ, which was really cool. So like, if I could do stuff like this, and I got to dress as Powerline too. And then I played Eye to Eye, and I went out with, I saw Strayhat Goofy in the crowd. And then we hit the dance. And then,
you guys were doing it at Comic-Con. You guys were doing it at the club, man.
Yeah.
It was good, man. And shout out to Strayhat Goofy, man.
Shout out Strayhat Goofy.
A good friend of ours. Really, really cool.
Yeah. And he's coming to New York now. Neebs, yeah. Just tell me when, all right?
Jazz, you should just move here, man. Actually, to be fair, I feel like all the action's in LA, but I'm glad that New York gets a little bit of the action. Like when NYC Comic Con comes out, we get a little bit of that action, which is really, really nice.
We pop off when New York Comic Con comes around, but like, yeah, everything is out there, which unfortunately, I feel like I'll see so many things I feel like I'm missing out on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like premieres and stuff, right? Did you get to go to the premiere or?
No, I did not. I was trying my best to do something to get someone's attention, and you know, it's hard unless you know the right people. I would love to have went, but I did go to an early screening for it was Straw Hat's early screening last Tuesday. I flew over to LA. I had that.
Oh, that's what you were there for. Okay.
Yeah, I had that, and I had a party for Box Lunch, the Box Lunch Gala the next night.
Oh,
so
cool. That looked really fun. I saw a lot of cool videos of that.
It fell in perfectly. So you know, that was such a great event, and the movie was, as you guys know, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was great. I can't wait to get into this movie because this is going to be so much fun to talk about. I'm glad we get to talk about it with you, man, because like it makes the whole experience so much more enjoyable. Mm-hmm. So I am super excited. So let's get down to it, man.
Actually, before we get into it, I do want to say one thing. Shout out to Box Lunch for all the good work they do.
Yeah, of course, mm-hmm. man.
They're great partnership company. With partnership with Feeding America, like they donated $100,000, and then Simu Liu, Shang-Chi, he was the first.
He matched it.
Yeah, he was the first giving ambassador that we did, and then he matched the $100,000, so $200,000 donation to Feeding America. So it's that's a lot of meals for a lot of people. So and
that's wild.
It was a great little surprise he did. So it was the whole thing was awesome.
I love that, man. That was a cool event. I'm so glad you got to be a part of it. It sounds really awesome, man. That's cool.
Yeah, it was great.
All right, man. Let's get into Wakanda Forever. Let's go. Let's dive in. All right, man. This movie starts off with like so much heaviness. When we see like you don't even see Shuri. You hear her praying to her God, and she's like, "Boss, if you do one thing for me, I'll never ask for anything else again."
Yeah.
That just set the tone for the entire movie. Then you see her walk into her lab, try to figure out a way to make the synthetic herb, and then all of a sudden it gets really quiet. Her mom walks in, and then she asks Creo, "What's her brother's heart rate?" And like we all know what's gonna happen. And it was just this heart-wrenching moment, man. Yeah, and it was just so wild. Junichi, let's go first with you, man. What were your thoughts at how the movie just starts off?
It's funny because we know what's gonna happen, but it still hits so heavy and so hard. And the way that, you know, Ryan Coogler did a great job with the whole film, and every actor and actress in that just did a phenomenal job. But like, as you said, Leo, the blanks, just hearing Shuri's voice, that set the tone. And then she's walking around, she's all frantic. Everyone's running around when she gets into the lab, and she's frantically going around. It's like, that's what a way to start a movie, just to like hit you right in the feels. Like even though you know what's gonna happen, like it's still like a big like just smack in the face. Like you're gonna cry right now. Mm-hmm. It was a lot. And you know, there was even honestly. Let's rewind. Was that before or after the Marvel thing where
that was after. So let's talk about the Marvel credit, because that was really
that also
cool.
hit me in the feels.
Yeah.
It had the moment of silence. Yep. But also for our listeners out there, by the way, this episode does have spoilers, obviously. So they get mad when I don't say that. But that's
a good point to make.
A Wakanda Forever recap? No shit, there are spoilers.
I don't know why people get mad that our recap episodes is us recapping the show. It's wild. But people were like,
complain about everything.
I know. But that moment of silence with the intro, not only do they show T'Challa the character, but they show background scenes of actual Chadwick, and that's like honoring both at that hits in the field. What were your thoughts on that?
It the whole crowd was just silent, and then when the full Marvel Studios logo showed, everyone started clapping, but it was just like eerie, and then it was like it was a lot, but it was so perfectly like just it was so well placed. And then you had that going into Shuri's little prayer, and just the first 5 minutes was just gut-wrenching. You know,
it's a heavy movie, man. Like it deals with themes about mourning, it deals with themes about God and how you're like, you know, you get upset at God, and then it also deals with just like grieving, right? And you see Shuri go through all this stuff, and like you really feel that because you know what happened in real life. Mm-hmm. And it's hard not to watch this movie and be affected by it. Like for some people, I tell people to watch this movie twice because mm-hmm. like me, like heaviness stays with me when I watch a movie. Like even movies like Up is my favorite Pixar movie. Hated it when I first watched it because I couldn't get over the first 12 minutes. It was too hard for me.
First 12 minutes were masterful in that movie.
The first 12 minutes they just
fuck you up. And then like I was like, this movie's gonna do that to me. This movie's gonna fuck me up. And then I'm gonna watch it again for the second time, and then I'm going to be able to enjoy it because it won't hit me as hard. And that's exactly what happened. Like my second viewing was so much better. First movie was like a punch in the face, man, every time.
I haven't seen Up in a while, but when I first saw it, I was like, what are they doing? Like, this is a kid's movie. Why are they hitting us like this?
Yeah, right.
But did you guys see it twice yet?
Yes, I watched it
twice.
I've
seen it twice, yeah.
I have not seen it twice, unfortunately. I only got to see it last Tuesday. I was going to go today, but everything just got so busy. I was doing a bunch of stuff. And then, you know, just, you know how things get so busy. And I'm busy for the rest of the week, so I probably won't be able to see it for the second time until next week. But I'm really looking forward to just because there are, like, moments in my head where I'm just like, I need to, like, see it again. Like, I have to see Talokan again. I have to see, like, the monologues, the banter. It was like everything was just so beautiful and just so, like, just perfectly funny in the right places.
Yeah, I feel like movies like The Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, like, when you're watching it the first time, you're, like, at the edge of your seat because you want to know what's happening next, right? But the movie's not about what's happening next. It's about what people are going through. It's about the character development. It's the heaviness of, like, what's going on with Shuri, what his family's going through, and then a little bit of, like, you know, we get to sit with Namor, right? And find out why he's doing what he's doing. It makes more sense when you're not anticipating what's going on. It's like, oh, he's going to come out here. He's going to do this. Who's going to be the cameo? Who's going to be the, like, when you're thinking about all that stuff, it takes away from the actual, like, heaviness and the themes of the movie. So I always recommend watching movies like this twice.
Yeah. And I'll get to it eventually. It's just, so just life gets so busy, but I'm going to be just sitting in my seat, just nothing, phone off. Like, again, just fully focus on the movie because, like, it's something you need to see twice, at least twice.
And I'm glad you said at least twice because even second time through, I still cried a couple times.
Oh, yeah, I definitely cried. Like, the crying never stopped.
Yeah, right? Like, just grown-ass men in a theater crying.
Like, you hear sniffles everywhere. Like, it's complete silence and just sniffles everywhere.
Like, who's crying? And it's like a grown man. It's like, it's okay, man. Me too. I cried when Chadwick died, and same thing when Kobe Bryant died, because, like, that was the same year. It was just like a separation of a couple months.
Yeah. But,
like, when I looked up to Chadwick, was such an icon, and then he was the Black Panther, and that did so much for the Black community, and just, like,
he was all of us.
He was the Black Panther. I love it.
Not even for the Black community, because I feel like without Black Panther, we would never have Miss Marvel. We would have never had Shang-Chi. Like, it was
the catalyst for so many much diversity, even with just not even culture, but, like, women too. You know what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And not even just, like, superhero movies, but, like, Crazy Rich Asians is something that got the... And if Crazy Rich Asians never popped off, Everything Everywhere All at Once would have never popped off. Like, it's a chain reaction, right? And, like, this show really opened it up. And it's not just the movie, not just the show, but, like, the Black community really came out for the Black Panther and showed people that this can make money. And, like...
Cast, like, a Black director. Have a full Black cast. It will sell. And it did. Yeah. Like, this day... Black Panther is my favorite Marvel movie of all time.
I feel like every other, like, thing that came, it's because of Black Panther. And like, I always show credit to that. We always have to give credit to that.
And, you know, shout out to, you know, the whole cast, and, you know, Ryan Coogler did such a good, he's only directed two movies, right? Just the Black Panther movies
For Marvel.
And I would love to see him. I think I heard a rumor about him being on the Secret Wars.
I heard that too.
I heard it too.
I would love for him to get that opportunity because he knows his stuff, and he does a great job of making a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
And it's outside of Marvel, he makes beautiful movies. Like, Creed. Everything he makes, I just enjoy.
Yeah. Dude, I can't wait for Creed. I'm really excited for that next.
Well, I have not seen any of the Creed movies. Mm. It's on my list.
Definitely recommend it. First, like, Jonathan Majors in it. That guy's in everything now. Like, that guy's...
I'm like, I have to, you know, I put things aside and I just watch reruns all the time. It's like, I have long list of shows and movies. I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. And I just, you know, time makes passes. Sense. And Jonathan Majors has been killing it. Like, I can't wait to see Devotion. I can't just, I'm going to watch Creed 1 and 2 just so I can watch him. I love Michael B. Jordan. Just so I can watch him in Creed 3. But, like, he's been, and then we get him as Kang.
God, that's going to be so good. Ant-Man, it's just world. The next few months is just his world.
It's just him. Like, he's, like, going to be ruling the world. And he found out this guy is just incredibly jacked.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my. When I first saw it, I was like, that's not him. That's fake. And I found out he put on all this muscle for the movie. I was like, shit.
I saw that, and I'm like, RIP Ant-Man. I'm sorry.
saying, I was like, oh, dude, the Avengers are fucked, man.
Like, who's the good guy here?
All right. Well, speaking of RIP, I do want to go back to the movie and talk about how they had this mourning period, which I thought was really interesting because in our culture, we also have a mourning period. You can't mourn for over a certain amount of time. After that, you pray for the people, but you don't mourn. And I think that's really interesting where, like, the queen and Shuri go to this like beach and they're like, hey, we're going to burn these garments as a like a finality of their mourning, right? And Shuri wasn't ready to do that. And you see how that really like takes the whole thing all the way to the end, and we see what happens there. And I thought that was such a great scene. And you can see like Shuri just not connecting. She's like almost doesn't believe in God anymore, right? It's kind of just like when someone like has this like really strong connection to religion and then someone in their family dies and they're like, if there's a God, why would they let something like this happen, right? And you see Shuri just like saying like, what you're telling me is a construct in your mind. And then her mom goes, well, what is the construct in your mind doing? Is it giving you comfort or is it giving you torment? And I was like, yo, such a good line. I love that scene at the beach. What are your thoughts, Dimitri?
I think, you know, anger plays a lot into what Shuri was feeling, because obviously when she, you know, when she went to the ancestral plane, we know who she saw. She just wasn't ready to let go. And then obviously the anger was a big part of that. And that, I think moving forward, that's going to play a big part into how she is as the Black Panther. I do think she's going to remain as the Black Panther, and there's going to be a king figure, king or queen figure. But I think that she's going to, I don't know, for me, I feel like she might end up being kind of like doing things on her own terms type of thing, because of how just, she, at the end of the movie, she burned his clothes. She finally let go. But I feel like there's that little inkling of like, she's just like that, not evil, but she's just still angry at the world. She doesn't believe there's a God anymore. She doesn't believe like, if there was a God, why would this happen to my brother? You know what I mean? So I think moving forward, she's just going to be just that angry person, you know, still trying to like deal with like mental health and like the depression of losing T'Challa. So yeah, I just think that that's going to play a big part of moving forward in the MCU.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. But I also think that like the line where they say only the broken can be good leaders is also a very good point, where like she is broken and maybe she's not ready to be a leader yet, but eventually I think she will be, because like,
she's,
you know,
so young in this movie.
She's young in this movie, right?
She's and like she 16, cares, right?
Yeah, and she cares about like technology and she's about all that, and she's dealing with a lot of death, but you know, she still has the capacity to lead, because we see what happens at the end of the movie. She makes the right choices. So we'll see. We got some comments. We got, do you think T'Challa variant will enter 616? I don't know, because we saw what happened at the end. We saw what happened at the end.
Yeah, because of the end, I don't think he will. No, I think because of the end. For me, I think I was just thinking about this earlier with the whole, baby T'Challa, which absolutely adorable, and I didn't see that coming at all. Honestly,
I didn't see that coming.
It just, oh, I was like, "Who's?" I was like, "Who's a little boy in Nakia's hand?" And I was just like, "No way! This is honestly, it's genius the way they did it."
Mm-hmm. It was like recast T'Challa. Don't recast T'Challa. Okay, I'll do both.
They did both.
If you think about it, like in a way, it's kind of like a clone. You know what I mean? But it's not a clone, but it is a clone. Like he grows up, like. This T'Challa can go through all the things that the T'Challa in the comics went through. You know what I mean? We're getting the X-Men in the future. He could very well be married to Storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything can happen here.
We don't know, because that's we don't know exactly when the X-Men are coming in. Like we have like a tentative time, but like it's up in the air of when exactly. Maybe during Secret Wars, after Secret Wars. But by that time, there could be another time skip. And T'Challa could be ready to rule. He could get the throne back, you know, challenge whoever's on the king's throne, queen's throne, and he could very well be involved with Storm. He could be going through all the stuff that happens that should have happened, I guess, when Chadwick was alive. But you know, because he's not, they had to rework it, and people were like, "Oh, should recast?" And I was team no recast. Just putting that out there. And I think that Ryan did a great job of segueing into. Setting up for the future.
I agree. I think that this is a great setup, and I think there's so much potential. And I didn't even think about the Storm thing until you brought it up. That just, like, all the things that, like, comic T'Challa has done that they kind of put on, you know, Chadwick's character that couldn't be done, now can be done, which is wild. And I think that's really cool way to go about it and give people what they want and still honor Chadwick, right? Mm-hmm. And give people, like, this movie is like almost like a funeral in itself. It's just like letting people grieve because he meant so much to so many people. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to the next scene. So the next scene, we know this where Wakanda is at. People think Wakanda is weak because they lost their king, they lost their Black Panther. So we feel like this French army tried to go into the boat French mercenaries?
We can't even call them French. They were a group of paramilitary professionals from multiple nations.
Is that what they said? That's so bland.
I thought they were French, like just straight. Well, I'm guessing they were hired by the French.
They were hired by the French and the Americans.
And the Americans.
Okay, because the
surprise, we're colonizers. Who knew?
The screen kept looking at the French lady and have her looking shame. So I thought it was all her.
It was both. It was like it was a paramilitary organization. Okay. And, like, I know, like, groups like this, like you know, the SAS. Navy SEALs, like, there are a couple of orgs, like, they have these little divisions that do this stuff.
So I thought the military was French, and the two people that were on there were American. The lady and the guy who were doing the science stuff were American, and then everybody else in the army was French. That's what I thought.
I thought they were both French and American, because I think why would they show both France and America like that?
I don't know, because the scientists were French. They're part of the CIA. That's what
The scene on the boat or the scene in the court in the room.
In the room, right? It was
in the
room.
Right? Yeah,
oh, in the room. Yeah.
The guy was from. It said "Etat Unis." For some reason, it was in French, but it said USA. The guy was from USA, and then she was from France.
Right. You're right.
It's because French is the global language of all the stuff. So.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. Oh, I did not know that. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. It's
okay.
It's a very polite and light language. English being a Germanic language is kind of rough and harsh. As well as German itself. So they wanted the, you know, more polite language when it comes to diplomacy.
Which is, that's true. I took French for 5 years, and my parents can speak French, actually, because we're Haitian, and they can speak Creole and French. Didn't teach any of us, though, because they didn't want us to know what they were talking about. And I was like, all right.
Oh, yeah, in the comments. Ruzzy's a lawyer. He was on our show a while back. He actually he's a lawyer with the, he does something special with the United Nations. So, French is a lawyer for the UN.
Oh, cool. I had no idea. That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That is cool. Oh, man. So I want to talk about the other boat now. I love the queen's response to it, though. That was
this is our mercy. And she brings him in. Like,
yo, that was so good.
The queen boss move of the century. Oh, my goodness.
The acting in this movie is phenomenal. Angela Bassett,
if she doesn't get nominated for something, like, I'm writing.
It's wild. Like,
sure. I'm with you, man.
He's like, I am bringing an Oscar-worthy performance, an Oscar-worthy Shakespearean performance to a movie about, like, a fictional country in a comic book. Like, she's like, I don't give a shit. I am bringing my A-game.
And it's wild. Did. It was crazy. But that whole scene was when she did her whole monologue, and when she brought them in, I was like, yo, Angela.
All right, let's talk about the other boat scene. The boat scene where we finally get to see the people from Talakan, and they're getting all these people to jump off the ship with their sirens. And I'm just like, oh, that makes sense, because, you know, sirens are they're a mythical thing where they use their voice to get men and pirates to jump off the ship. And I was like, the way they
crash the ship into the rocks,
or crash ships in the rocks, exactly.
Oh, I didn't even make that correlation.
Yeah, and I was like, sirens. That makes so much sense. They can do this, like, mind control thing where they do that, and then you see them fight. And I was like, okay. Like, you know, it was pretty cool. They were taking shots coming back up. But then when you see Namor just fly up there and take that helicopter, I was like, that was badass. That was so badass.
It was so cool. Like, just not even seeing his face, just like his silhouette. And I thought they were going to get away and something else was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then that I was like, all right, that was pretty cool. That was well planned.
Oh, we were saying government, but yeah, State Department, right? Thanks, Rosie, for always checking us with the important facts, making sure we blame the right government entity.
so one One thing that I want to talk about. So we see the people from Telecon, and they find a vibranium detector, and then Namor, he goes to Wakanda, just swims there, and then finds him on the beach, and then, you know, throws the vibranium detector on there. But he says his mother talked about a place like Wakanda. Mm-hmm. And to me, I'm thinking, like, he must have been there before. And I feel like, in my opinion, my headcanon is all the kings from previous past have known about Talokan. Because, like, they probably met somewhere at one point, obviously his mother knows about it. And then they would pass on that knowledge to all of the kings prior or that come after it. Chadwick never got to tell Shuri because he died. So Shuri never knew. I think that all of the kings from Wakanda always knew about Talokan.
Oh, or maybe Chadwick didn't even know before his dad told him.
Because yeah. his dad died too.
His dad died prematurely. So that's maybe true. Before he passed on the reins, he didn't tell him that information yet. So in the movie, Namor was upset that Chadwick opened the boat. No, not Chadwick. T'Challa opened the borders of Wakanda. Yeah. He revealed themselves, and so I feel like if he knew, he wouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. he probably had no idea about Talokan.
There could have been some treaty back in the day between
yes,
like and that them, makes... like yo, we have vibranium. Let's not mention this to anybody.
That actually adds more story back to T'Chaka. It makes T'Chaka's decision to not open it even more like mm-hmm. heavy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's more at stake than just Wakanda.
Yeah.
Holy shit. He prevented a different kind of war.
Yeah.
By right. not opening it up.
Like, I mean, I really wish we could verify this kind of stuff. It's like, just call up Ryan. It's like, is this...
yeah, right? Like, this is something we really need an answer for.
Yeah, like, right? it makes a lot of sense. Like, if... Because there are a bunch of secrets that I feel like, you know, even our government that, you know, passed. You only get that information if you're a president if you're president, you know this certain thing. So it could very well be the information that he died with, and it was only him who knew, and not even Queen Ramonda knew, and then it was just lost. And I mean, who knows?
I know. I'm gonna make a TikTok about this tonight. Let's see if anybody has an answer.
I'm. Let me know, because I will be all over that.
Yeah.
Just get them on like together. Like,
it'll be good. One thing I did want to know. So like, they go to MIT. A lot of people go to MIT in Marvel. We got all the Spider-Man people at MIT. Iron Man went to MIT. Riri went to MIT. It's a lot of propaganda here for MIT. I went to an engineering school, too. How come they don't show NJIT?
Okay, well, what's the best school in America, Neebs?
All right, fine. Well, you know what? Princeton. Princeton's from Jersey. I got to represent Jersey.
Princeton, fine. It's up there, all right?
Jersey.
Truly, in all the rankings, MIT is always number one.
Okay, fair. All right. But I liked one of the things.
Yeah, surprisingly, it's not Harvard. I know people are confused about that. But no, MIT is the top school.
Facts. I did think it was funny that they mentioned the Fenty makeup. Mm-hmm. And we got Riri on who they're going after. And like Rihanna's doing the music for this. So it's kind of mm-hmm. like they're giving a lot of props to Rihanna. Because Rihanna also goes by the name Riri, which I think is funny. And I thought that was a little interesting and a little fun fact.
Little nods and stuff like that. It's great.
Yeah. But I like that. And then we got to see Riri show us what she has. Then they go off to the streets. And that's when we meet Namor's crew. And they go into a fight on the bridge. That fight scene on the bridge, you know, a lot of people in the audience were like gasping. Because they were like, what the hell is going on? What were your thoughts about that fight scene, Dimitri?
It was just surprising because... You know, we love Okoye. I love Okoye and Denai, and she plays her so well. And to see her lose, you never would think you would see Okoye lose. But then, Namora and then the whole crew. And I'm forgetting the name of the big dude that beat her.
But, Attula,
the warrior.
I think.
Yeah, he said that a lot. He used the word warrior a lot.
Yeah, warrior. Let's fight.
He just, you know, he mollywopped her, and you know, she took her loss, and then after that, she was stripped as general. But yeah, it's just it was a great scene. It was a well choreographed scene, but just to see her lose was like because we're always rooting for Okoye. But to see her lose was like, it's like, damn, man, you had it.
But they had to establish that the Talokans are not to be messed with. They're
right.
badass. And Namor says, like, hey, listen, Wakanda, you guys don't know, Atuma. But...
Atuma,
yes.
Thank you, Ruzzy. Like, I said, we just gotta have Ruzzy on here at some point again. Like,
Ruzzy needs to become our producer. Just fact checks us all the time.
Right, the entire time.
Oh, man. I was gonna say, they go onto the bridge and they have to establish that these guys are badasses, that they can really, really fight, right? And we finally get to see that. And they win. And then Shuri's smart. She's like, hey, listen, I can't beat them, but maybe I can reason with them. And mm-hmm. they take Shuri. I thought that was really smart, really cool. And then we see the next episode, the next day, Ross comes out there. He's like, oh, wow, I found these bees that are conspicuously lying around. I am special. Let me pick them.
Like, no one noticed these bees. Let me pick these up. It was like,
come on, Ross. Like, even you know the U.S. government's not that incompetent. Like,
of course they're bugged, man. Come on.
Come on, man.
I didn't think Fontaine was going to be in the movie, though. So it was.
I didn't think she was going to be his wife.
Even, yeah. Like, they were banging.
Director Fontaine, yeah.
She was like, let me come sit on your Peloton. I was like, oh, my God, ma'am.
It's like, relax. Can we just relax? Just relax a little. But he just casually sees the beads. You didn't think that, you know, that they might be bugged or anything. But to each their own.
To each their own. All right.
To each their own.
All right. So that's our favorite colonizer over there. But let's go back to Wakanda and let's talk about M'Baku and the rest of the crack.
Yo. Get me started on M'Baku. Like,
I was actually supposed to make a TikTok about him today and just do a bunch of his scenes. Mm-hmm. But he was so great in the movie. He's just so naturally funny and like
bald-headed demon.
You bald-headed demon. When I heard, I was like, no, that was so like so. I wonder if that had to be. Sometimes stuff is, you know, they improvise a lot. I wonder if that was improvised because that was
probably bet it was.
You bald-headed demon. I was like, that was just so funny. And then when I don't know what warrior he was talking to, what tribe that was, but then it was like watch yourself, M'Baku. He was like, ooh. Like, it just all of it was just so, he's just so great.
When the queen was like, sit down, he's like, yes, ma'am.
I love that he just like came out there so menacing, eating a carrot. Like, I've never seen a man eat a carrot so manly.
Now you have Winston Duke and M'Baku, man. Like, mm-hmm. he such a great casting.
So good.
No, like, I think he may have been the best character in this movie, honestly.
Yeah.
Between, there's so many good characters.
Between him and Riri. Riri, she's naturally funny, too.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for her series. And I know I've read comics, like, here and there, nothing fully. But I was reading up on, like, Riri Williams and saying, like, people don't, the comics didn't do too well. People didn't really, you know, resonate with her. Yeah. But I think coming from this movie, her show is going to be so good. And I think Don Cheadle is also going to be like a figure in the show. And
for
like Armor Wars, whenever that comes out.
And Sam Wilson too. Like,
no, yeah. And Sam Wilson. So yeah, like just be like in the form of a mentor, or like she maybe gets her hand on Stark Tech and then he has to step in. You know what I mean? So I can't wait to see that. But I think I think that show is going to end up being a surprise for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm really excited. A lot of people were not big fans, but I thought, like, the reason I feel like people are not big fans is Marvel does this thing, and they've done it with other shows too, is they use characters as, like, the MacGuffins, right? Basically, you see it in, Doctor Strange, where, like, America Chavez is basically this thing that everyone has to get. And then same thing, Riri is this thing everyone has to get. And I don't know why people have a problem with that. It's a plot device, right? So the fact that, like, they made a plot device a person instead of a thing is what gets to people. Like, oh, this person wasn't really used. Like, yeah, they're introducing her, man. We're just getting, it's a little warm up. It's a little teaser to it. She's going to get her own stuff. Just calm down. It'll be fine.
The internet just loves to complain about every little thing. If I feel entertained, I think, you know, obviously I have my criticisms, but if I feel entertained, I'm like, yeah, this was a good show. It was a good movie. But people would like Star Wars fans and Marvel fans, I would say, are the worst people.
100%.
Some of the worst people
100%.
Ever. 100%. They're great. They're the great. There's the good side, and then there's the very, very toxic side.
Yeah.
No, like you can't be a superhero. Why are we, it's the MCU now. Like, this is so, I hate the word mid so much. People use it some, this was so mid. I was like, is it mid, or are you just upset that you're not seeing yourself represented anymore? And they're representing
exactly
a new culture, or, you know, women, and people are upset about that. And She-Hulk, Star Wars is the worst. They're the worst. They're awful.
Right. Said it. Star Wars fans are the worst.
Star Wars literally bullied people into suicide. Like, they're actors. That is wild.
Actor for Jar Jar Binks, he almost committed suicide.
Ahmed Best,
Yeah.
And the young kid who played Anakin, him too.
Yeah, him too. It's just, you know, and She-Hulk did a great job of, they knew what was going to happen. Like, I think, I forgot what episode it was two or three, where they showed that whole little montage.
Of like men complaining.
Yeah, men complaining. Like, they called this from the start. Like, the director knew exactly what was going to happen. And it's making a point. Like, people just complain about nothing. And a lot of it are the people who, you know, they don't see white men in charge anymore. They don't see white men lead actors. But instead we have, like, you know, we have Kamala Khan. We have Shuri. And just upsetting so many people, and I just don't understand why.
It's really, really weird. But I think, like, when you're so used to privilege, that equality feels like oppression to you. That's what I think, right? It's like one of those things.
Great. That's spot on.
Yeah. All right, let's go. I want to go back. I know we talked about a lot of great actors.
Wait, back to M'Baku, about how I'm going to fanboy over him.
Okay, sure. Go
ahead. let's go to the next scenes, because really, the scenes that came after the, you know, that scene where they're all gathered, that's where he really shines. So let's keep going.
It's really funny to me, because like M'Baku calls out Okoye, calls her bullheaded demon, right? But then when Okoye comes back and she is stripped of her title, he doesn't say anything. He's like, that's his chance to, like, say something, or, like, you know, kick someone when they're down. He's like, nope, doesn't say anything, right? And you see, like, what a mature king he was. And when we see him in Black Panther, you're kind of like, oh, Chadwick's the king. This guy's arrogant. But you're like, M'Baku's wise. Like, he is wise.
We'll just get into it. He was the big brother to Shuri in that moment when she needed a brother.
Yeah.
And he was like, are you sure you're doing this for the right reason? Like, obviously, she's someone angry and whatnot, and, you know, little sisters do that, but he was still there for her.
Yeah.
And he was there for Chadwick. He was like, for T'Challa, like, yo, your brother asked me to do this.
Right. Which I loved. And it was like a big brother, uncle type of moment. And even going back to with Okoye, I think him not saying anything in that moment, it was just a sign of respect, of how much he actually respects her.
Right.
He does the banter with her, but, you know, she's a leader, and she has proved herself time and time again. So for him not to say anything in that moment, I think that was just out of just straight respect. But I love the dynamic that Shuri and M'Baku have now. And that scene where she, you know, she came down as Black Panther, she was speaking to him alone, where she was just like giving him the absolute business. And I think he was just kind of like, let me just step back and let her do her thing.
I think moving forward,
with when we thought we're gonna see Shuri step out of the jet during the ceremony, and we saw him talking instead. I forgot who I was talking to about this, but I think it's gonna be a situation where he's king and she's the Black Panther.
Right.
And he's facilitating, you know, she does Black Panther duties, because she is very young in the movie.
Yeah.
And you know, she's 16 in the movie?
Yeah, something like that.
She was 16 in the first movie, but we don't.
She's probably 17, 18 right now at most.
17, 18, yeah, because
Of the blip. There's 5 years, so you got to add the blip too.
Well, no, if she's 16 when the blip happened, let's say that was.
She's 21?
Well, technically, she should be 21, but it was like a year after that when the movie takes place after T'Challa died. So isn't she really like 17 or 18?
No, because this happens after the blip. T'Challa comes back after the blip.
How do we know she wasn't blipped also?
She was blipped.
That's why she's still young. Yeah,
she was blipped.
Oh, I
didn't
know
she's still young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. Never mind.
Yep, that's why it tracks. Like, she's probably 16, 17, or 18 now.
So, that's a very young age to rule at, and she still has a lot to learn. So I think it's going to be a situation where M'Baku's the king, and she's the Black Panther, which I think
makes sense.
Would be really cool. I love to see that. And I know Winston Duke, I think he signed a contract extension with Marvel. So to see him in a bigger role like that, I think it was great, because I love Winston Duke.
Me too. So yeah, good. Thanks. The other thing in that scene I want to talk about, when Angela Bassett, the queen, rips Okoye. Woof, man. Like, she does a good job, but like, oh man, that was
bad. She went mama bear there, but like a little too much bear.
She was like, listen, you were here when freaking Killmonger took over, and like she pulled out the receipts, and she was like,
she really did. She was like, I've been saving this for the right moment, right now. And I know we all do that as people. It's like, if I ever get into a fight with this person, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that. She was holding that back for years.
Yes.
Years. Okay. Even like she was, I don't think she was blipped. Okoye wasn't blipped. So she like,
Okoye for sure was not blipped.
Yeah, she was not blipped. She was in Endgame, but she was holding those receipts for the longest time, and she delivered them. Like, that whole monologue was great. And I think that that was my favorite monologue in the MCU, because she did such a great, like, have I not given you everything? I was like, oh my God, so good.
Yeah.
That's so good, man.
Okay, real quick confirmation. Shuri was 18 in the first Black Panther movie. She was blipped, and she came back into existence around 2023. So that would make her around 20 at the time. And Wakanda Forever takes place a year later, so she'd be around 21.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right.
So she's still very, very young.
Yeah, very young. The other character that I want to talk about that nobody's talking about, and it's my favorite character because I'm obsessed with her, I'm in love with her, is Lupita's character, Nakia. I swear to God.
If
there's one character that kept the heart and soul of T'Challa alive in this movie, it was her. Because you can see her talking to Shuri about, like, letting vengeance consume you, and you can see, like, you know, her going out and finding Shuri where she was and going undercover. She got her like family madrigal on, where she was like in Kanto mode, and she goes and dressed up and gets the information for Namor. Like, I love her in this movie. I think they did a good job with making sure, like, you know, she was still an important, integral part of this movie. Mm-hmm. And at the end, when you see what happens with, you know, T'Challa's son, you can see like why she left and why she stayed away and all this stuff, and it made so much sense. And you can see like she is the closest to the nobleness that is T'Challa in the entire movie, and I really, really loved her character.
She would have been a great queen if T'Challa was still alive.
She would have been a great Black Panther, in my opinion.
I thought she was gonna end up being the one in the suit. Like, I thought there were gonna be two Black Panthers throughout the movie, and I thought she was gonna be one of them.
Oh, they sure photoshopped it a bit. She had way more curves in the trailer, and then in the movie.
Yeah, they're like, did a little flippy flip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that you said the Encanto thing, because that's the first thing I thought about when she had the glasses on. I was like, girl, you are going through your Encanto phase right now.
She's looking for Bruno. That's we don't talk about Bruno, Namor.
But we don't talk about Namor. And then she came out with like the perfect like I wonder how many languages she actually knows, because I know she's an undercover spy. But she has to know all of them. But I love that one scene, because she put the Encanto. It was great.
And she's Spanish in real life too, right? Like from a Spanish-speaking country?
I don't know about that. We can look that up.
Look it up. I'm pretty sure she is. I'm pretty sure she's Afro-Latino or something like that, which I think is cool.
She was born in Mexico City.
Mexico City, yeah.
To Kenyan parents.
Yeah, to Kenyan parents. Yep.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
How do you feel about them being in Haiti? That's got to be cool. That must have been amazing, man. I like, that's got to be cool. Tell me about that.
It was cool. Like, unfortunately for me, I have yet to go visit Haiti, and it's something that's I travel a lot, but that's I was actually in the DR for a wedding in April, and that's the closest I've ever been to Haiti. And
it's next door.
Yeah, it's right next door. My parents always want to go back. If I ever go back, it's definitely going to be with them. But I have yet to make it over there, and I've been wanting to go for the longest time. But just when they said Haiti, I was like, that's cool. I turned to my friend. I was like, I'm Haitian.
Nice.
I was like, they're in Haiti. I was like, that's cool. And then he was like, when Charleston was like, my name is Toussaint. I was like, oh, that's so cool. I love the fact that they put it in Haiti.
Yeah. Tell our audience a little bit about what that name means, because I looked it up, but I want you to tell it.
So Toussaint Louverture, if you go back, if you Google him, Shuri said that his name carries a lot of significance.
Right.
He was the person who basically liberated the Haitian people. So like it was that when she said that was you have a very important name, your name carries a lot of history, that like it's, if you Google him, you will see him all over the place.
That's so cool. We got a history lesson in this movie. And
I thought that was so really, really cool. I was like,
we need to learn more about the cultures. Cause like, I know in our school, like we learn world history. Mm-hmm. It's really European history. It's not world history. Like,
and it's written by the oppressors.
Chapters on Asia, chapters on Latin America. They're like literally one chapters. And then every country in Europe has its own chapter. So
yeah.
I'm glad they're doing this.
We watched Miss Marvel, and so many people came out and said, we never heard of the partition. We didn't know what that was. And I was like,
I didn't. I did not.
Exactly.
I had no idea about what it was. And then it was cool learning about it. But I had no idea that happened in the past. Mm-hmm. And we don't learn about that stuff. We learn about our history, but it's good to learn about, everyone's history. So, it's just a lot of stuff in school they don't teach us.
And I'm so glad the Marvel, Disney, they're all just shoving it in there like, learn.
Yeah.
it's great for everybody. I love it.
You know what it is? They're giving these producers, writers, and directors more creative control. And because of that, they're able to add this stuff in there, right? So I think that's really, really cool. Like, that's probably all Ryan. The partition was probably all Bisma. So, like, this stuff is really cool because they let the right people tell the right stories.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Let's talk about Shuri when she takes the herb and she sees Killmonger. I think that scene was the biggest shocker for me. That was like as shocking as like when the Red Skull showed up. Like I was like, whoa, that's crazy.
Yeah, I saw when she got out the water, I saw the hair. I was like, that's not Ramonda. I thought somehow it was going to be some scene with Chadwick that they filmed. Which makes no sense, but
you're hopeful, and I was hoping for that too.
I was hopeful, but then that was the last thing I expected. He had the comic accurate dreads. Mm-hmm. Dude looked good. I'm just gonna he had the all white fit on, and then I did not see that coming, and everyone in the theater just audibly gasped.
Yep.
And then he was just spitting. He was spitting straight facts to her.
He like, was.
About how are you feeling, like about her feelings, the way she's feeling, how she hates the world, how similar, not in the past, but now, they are.
Yeah, their feelings are very similar. She wants to avenge her mom, right? Basically an Avenger, right?
Her mom
wants to avenge
and her brother everybody, right? Really.
Yeah. She's angry at the world. She's a child who's angry at the world. And it makes sense because who was Killmonger? A child that was angry at the world.
Straight up.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And that's when we get that line, like, vengeance has consumed us, right? Mm-hmm. And you see that. And T'Challa learned that early, right? He had learned it himself, but he learned it early. And she needed to learn it in this movie. And we see, Queen Ramonda come out like Lion King. Show them who you are, like Lion King. And then, and she makes the right choice. And that's when she's, finally... That's where all the conflict is resolved, which makes a lot of sense. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and for them to have hidden that for as well as they did, I'm sure the premiere, the room was going crazy. Michael B. Jordan was at the premiere. So he's
sitting
there like, motherfuckers, like,
I got you.
I know.
You had no idea.
It makes sense for him to be at the premiere because he was in the first movie. So you're like, oh, he was in the first movie. They invited him back, right?
Exactly. Then
you're
like, oh, so you
he's in the movie.
You don't think twice about it. But I mean, think about it. Like, he can still very well come back now where they're in the multiverse. And I'm sure you guys have watched the What If series.
Yeah, I'm actually really afraid he becomes a Black Panther in a different universe. And
he's still alive in that little, I had to rewatch it, but he's like in a little jar thing.
Little snow globe.
And he can be released. He can come back into the 616. Yeah. He can come into the 616 and he can very well, just do his thing. He could be in Secret Wars. We don't know. And I honestly hope he is, because that would be so
good. I mean, cool. I love Michael B. Jordan as an actor. Like, he's so good.
He's so good. And I think that would be a nice little surprise among other things that I know is just going to hit us so hard in the face. I can't wait. Like, even with Into the Spider-Verse coming out.
God, I can't wait for that.
Coming out. That has to be a part of Secret Wars, all that stuff.
That's going to be wild.
Introduce Miles Morales and just so many spider people. We have,
Spider-Pig.
We have Matt, and Spider-Pig.
Can't forget Spider-Pig.
That would be weird, but I'm here for it. And we have Madam Web coming out.
Yeah, Madam Web.
Yeah, so like so much stuff is going on in that. I think it's going to play a part into Secret Wars. We have, you know, Hugh Jackman coming back for Deadpool as Wolverine. Yeah. We have the X-Men coming. We have the Fantastic Four coming. And I really hope John Krasinski is still playing.
I think he signed on. I think he signed on to be Mr. Really? Fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. But I do want to talk about one more thing before we move on. I want to talk about Namor because we did not get enough Namor.
Yo, like, I can't believe we're 50 minutes in. Like,
I know we're 50 minutes in. We still haven't talked about Namor yet. It's like wild. But yes, can we talk about Namor? His reform history, which was awesome.
You want to just like push like Bachelor to tomorrow and just keep going with? Oh, you can't do tomorrow. Never mind.
No. Okay. We'll keep going. Well, it'll be fine. We'll make Bachelor short. So we do a Bachelor episode right after this. We cover a lot of content. Like we do a lot. But yes, he says his famous catchphrase, Imperius Rex. Really, really cool. And then you see his fight. Yo, those wings, the way he's like flying on the edge of the wing walking, like amazing. I love that.
You guys know Cleo Thomas?
Yes, I know him.
If you don't know, he played Zero in in Holes. He tweeted, he said that Ryan Coogler had Namor doing the illest Eurostep of all time. He was like, da, and I didn't even think
as
about
someone
that.
Someone from Houston who's seen James Harden play a lot. Yeah.
I was like, oh my god, that's so funny. Like that's hilarious.
That is so
actually funny. I don't know if y'all watch anime, right? But this is my favorite anime, One Piece. The third in command of the show, his name is Sanji, and he does something very similar called the Skywalk. And when I saw this, I'm like, wait a second.
Maybe Ryan
Michael B. Jordan's a weeb. Did he suggest this? Like
probably. That one scene was just so cool. And the whole Wakanda Talokan versus Wakanda fight scene was just so well done.
It was masterful. It was effects, masterful. The music, the lighting, everything.
Like just the sadness of it, and just you see M'Baku going diving into the water, Matt immediately to go save a boat, and the part where Ramonda dies, and he's like, "What did Namor said exactly?" He was like, he's like, "Mourn your losses, bury your dead. You're queen now." I was like, "Oh, so
yeah. Shit." But like he was so like. Like he made sense in a lot of way, and he was like so like nice. Like he took Shiri out. He explained to her like this is what we want to do, and like he was not like a crazy evil villain.
He said preemptive strike. Like he is a villain no matter what.
No, he is definitely a villain for sure.
Which is very nice about it.
He was very convincing, and he's kind of like it was a way to be like, hey, listen, you're a marginalized nation. I'm Martin Luther. The real enemies are the white people. We need to get together and make sure we're ready for them. Which I, in my opinion, I think he kind of accomplished, right? Even though he lost the fight, he did convince Shuri to support them and protect their waters. And he's kind of just waiting. He's like, listen, she thinks she won, but really she just bought herself some time because the white people will eventually attack Wakanda.
Facts.
And that's, will join together. So even though they aren't technically together, they're still together.
Yeah, that's when she's gonna become coming for help because it could definitely be more than one nation coming at Wakanda and they can only handle so much. I mean, they have superior technology, but for all to fend off that many people, you're gonna need help, and she's gonna definitely go to Talokan and Namor.
Yeah, and I like how Namor was like, you know, I think he grew here because he was like, you know what, fine. I'll give up on my first strike ambitions because she's going to join me anyways, and it's going to happen. I might as well just, you know, bide my time.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Wakandans were technically going to lose because they were surrounded. They were about to lose.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Shuri did not defeat him, that would have been it. So it was a very well-matched fight, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. It was.
It was really, really good. It was really cool to see. And we got to see the Midnight Angels, which was really cool. Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Nobody knew that was a thing.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool. And that whole sequence, I'm like, oh, okay. They're ugly, but, you know, they work.
They are ugly.
They do their job.
I actually like them. Leave me alone. Reminds me of Farrah's outfit from Overwatch.
Yeah. But like the thing is, like Shuri went like Batman, right? Like she had the prep time. So she was like, listen, she had prep time to make sure that her and Riri Williams got a plan together, and they were able to defeat Namor, and they did. They outsmarted him. They did all that, and then they like fried his ass, like fried fish.
Batman could be anyone with prep time. People always say that. Definitely, as a genius, you know, and you know Bruce is a genius, and you know, if you have prep time, you're gonna get your man. You're gonna figure it out, and then they did with the heat lamps, and you know, it was a very fair fight at that time. You know, because I think I was reading something that said Namor is supposed to have the power of when he's in the water, he's like as strong as Thor or the Hulk or something like that.
So
she held her own, and it was a really well choreographed fight scene. You know, he caught her with the debris, stabbed her, and she was like, "Nah, this ain't over."
Yep.
And she did her thing, and at the end, I thought she was gonna kill him, and she was very reserved, and to live another day. And yeah, like she's gonna end up going back to Talokan. Like it's just setting up for future movies and setting up for future.
Setting up
for future conflict, which is great. And I'm glad, honestly, I'm glad that Namor's not dead because
he's such a good villain.
He's a great villain. Like him. Who else? Michael B. Jordan, Killmonger. I think those two are like top.
Top two villains of the MCU, hands down, agree.
Because their resolve and then their reasoning was just like, it's so justified. They just did it in a very extremist way.
Yeah, and the actor was just so good. I have to give a shout out
to Ruzzy because he was the first one to say that. But yes,
I really really love the acting of Namor, and it's just like he just does this like soft villain. Like era thing where he's just like telling people like, yeah, we're going to kill you, but here's why. I think you need to join us.
It's so funny to see people like tweet about I see TikToks now. People are like, sure, you didn't want to like go with him when he said let's burn the world together. It's like I would have been like so many women are like,
you're the key to my heart.
Women are like simping over him. Like, which is granted, he's a very attractive man, and like in the movie, you know, he's doing his thing, and then. I can understand, and I just love that what he did for Aztec Mayan culture, just like for Mexican culture. Like I saw videos of people videos of people like, you know, how after Black Panther, you know, black people, we got the Wakanda suit, and everyone's just walking around doing the little sign. I'm like, that's so cool, and I'm so glad that they have that now. Like I love seeing representation in movies, and
I love it too.
After so long, seeing like for one thing, and then now, and I'm sure like Kevin Feige always had a plan, just like down the line, and just to see all this stuff now and see what we're getting in the future with women, with different cultures. You know, we got Kamala Khan, and which was a great show. I loved it. I just love seeing the different cultures and learning about that, about his history, and then Talokan and what happened, and like just Mayan culture and Aztec culture.
Yeah, beautiful. It's really cool because they take it from like real culture, and it took a lot of inspiration from like real Aztec gods and like Mayan culture, and they mixed up a little bit here and there, but it's like, you know, it was great to see. It was great to see that representation, and I really enjoyed it. And I always say this: when one of us wins, we all win. That's how representation works, right? So I love that. And that's pretty much the whole show, the whole movie. What else do we have? Is there anything else I'm missing? Anything big happened?
I do want to talk about T'Challa's son, because I saw it was either I read about it or saw a TikTok where someone was like, "So T'Challa was gone for he was blipped for 5 years."
Yeah.
And he got sick, you know, I think in between then, right? When he got back. So really, when he got back, his son was 5.
Yeah.
And he probably had only around a year with his son.
Only a year. Yeah.
Which makes it so much sadder.
Yeah, it makes it really sad. But he prepped him. He taught him a lot in that year. Because he was like, I am King T'Challa.
Son of T'Challa.
And son of T'Challa,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like he prepped him for his death, and it's just so sad to think about that.
Yeah. No, I get it. I love that. I love the direction they took with it. And like I said in the beginning, this is a movie that you want to watch twice. You want to, the first time you're anticipating stuff and you might not get what you want, but the second time you sit with it and you're like, okay, this is really giving me not what I want, but what I need. Because some of those scenes, I was like, yo, that grief, like, it's familiar. It's familiar to a lot of us.
I was actually angry in part of the first watch through, like, when Shuri went all, you know,
anger and whatnot. I was like, it's not what Shaw would have wanted. It's not what Shaw would have wanted.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why are y'all taking it this way?
Yeah.
I don't like this. Yeah, I'm glad watch through.
I'm glad that she, you know, she leveled out for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it was the second watch that truly understand that these were the five stages of grief. It wasn't just a plot point for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah. Like, yeah, this is stuff that people actually go through.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
So, it's yeah, definitely watch twice. Like, yeah. Your opinion will change.
Ruddy said it was not a sequel. It was therapy. Yeah, man.
Yeah, it was not a sequel. It was therapy.
It was therapy.
Well, Dimitri, thank you so much for joining us, man. This was such a great show. We really enjoyed having you. You are welcome anytime. If you're ever watching anything else or you want to come on our show, please feel free. It was a pleasure meeting you. And, you know, again, like, tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on TikTok at Dimitri Beauchamp. I know that's a lot to, you know, but I also have my TikTok, my Instagram. It's Dimitri, is D-I-M. You'll type in D-I-M, three E's, and you'll find me, like, immediately.
Damn, why you got to make it so complicated?
It's a picture of me going like this, but gotcha. If you type in Dimitri, I think I should pop up for the most part.
I typed in Dimitri, like, the first thing that came up was you.
Yeah, so I think that also works. So just type in Dimitri. Yeah, you'll know me when you see me.
Perfect, perfect, right. All right, man. Thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, guys, salam, nerds.
Peace.
And we're...